Good afternoon. We will call to order the Ways and Means Subcommittee of Human Resources, and today we are going to be addressing the Vocational Rehabilitation Division. This is part of the DHR budget of House Bill 5029. So, John, do you want to start running us through this?
Sure. I'd be happy to, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I have a handout for you, but before I distribute that, I want to make a couple of opening remarks about the Vocational Rehabilitation Division. We heard their budget quite a while ago, toward the middle of April, and wanted to refresh your memory just a bit. There are three programs within the Vocational Rehabilitation Division, three main programs. The Disability Determination Services Program is a completely federally funded program. In a sense, we act as a contractor for the federal government, and that unit determines eligibility for Social Security disability income applications as well as supplemental security income, SSI and SSDI. Again, that is an entirely federally funded program. The next main program is the Rehabilitation Services Program. It is predominantly funded with federal funds that match state funds on a 4-to-1 match. These are Section 110 of the 1973 Rehabilitation Act dollars. And the primary focus of that program is to assist persons with disabilities in the attainment of employment. To do that, they have a number of branch offices around the state, and they have counselors in those offices who assist persons with disabilities, and they purchase training, they purchase such things as assistive devices, provide some assistance on occasion with transportation. But the whole goal of that program is to help severely disabled persons find and maintain employment. Bill Brown, who is the acting administrator of the Vocational Rehabilitation Division, has provided this handout. You all have a copy that talks really about the Rehabilitation Services Program within the Vocational Rehabilitation Division. The final program is administrative positions, and it is funded both through the rehab program as well as an allocation from the Disability Determination Services Program. One principal issue that faced the Vocational Rehabilitation and the Department of Human Resources with respect to the funding for this division is as follows. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. For the past, I'm guessing, 7 or 8 years, the Vocational Rehabilitation Division has received other funds and support from the Workers' Compensation Division within the Department of Consumer and Business Services. That was to the tune of about $750,000 during the current biennium. It would have been increased a bit for the upcoming biennium, the 99-01 biennium. Those funds were in turn used to match on a 4-to-1 basis federal Section 110 dollars. However, during the current biennium, it was the advice of the Management Labor Advisory Committee, which is within the Department of Consumer and Business Services, they recommended removing that funding for this program. And the governor's recommended budget reflects that recommendation. So in other words, there is a hole, or was, in the governor's recommended budget of about $700,000 to $800,000 that would have been used to match federal Section 110 funds. So that's a little bit of background information.
Madam Chair, Senator, what's the reason for
probably Bill or Gary to address that question, Senator Yee. My understanding was that the program was based on the notion, as I understand it, that these workers' compensation dollars, when a disabled worker exhausted his or her workers' compensation dollars, they often ended up at the Vocational Rehabilitation Division.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vocational Rehabilitation Division doesn't discriminate based on workers' comp needs or anything like that. It has nothing to do with whether you exhausted your workers' comp benefits or not. It has to take all comers, assuming they are eligible for the vocational rehabilitation program. But
mm-hmm.
the eligibility criteria has nothing to do with workers' compensation with respect to vocational rehab division.
Yeah.
That was how the program got started. I would defer to you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Weeks and Mr. Brown to respond further.
I'm sorry I interrupted you, Joe.
No, okay.
I thought you were finished. I would just defer to Gary to explain it. I know a little bit about the MLAC and what they
I'm Chair and members of the committee. I'm Jerry Weeks, Director of the Department of Human Resources, and I think John's done a good job explaining this. I do have some pretty good background on it because it started when I was the insurance commissioner in 1991, 92. I forget these jobs from time to time. So, but those dark days when I was the insurance commissioner and stuff. But John is correct. We had just come through a period of dramatic workers' comp reform in 1989. Pretty successful reform in terms of reducing rates and everything like that. And there were individuals who formerly had been served under the comp system, and they have exhausted their eligibility or weren't eligible because of the way that we had changed the workers' comp program. And they were showing up at the doorstep of vocational rehabilitation in large numbers. And so I got a hold of 7th and Cannon, and I knew they had unmatched federal money, because I'd been deputy at DHR, and so I knew the budget pretty well and stuff, and said to Kevin, we can draw down, I think, reasonably, some money out of the workers' comp fund and use it to match your unmatched federal $110 dollars and direct that service to people who were in front of folk rehab because of a prior work-related injury. So it was always intended to be a work-related injury, and the workers' comp, or the VRD, we set up a process so that when people would come with a prior claim or a comp claim, we would double check that with the comp system and make sure that it was a work-related claim, and then we would serve them using these monies. And we did that in 1991, 1993, and until the current biennium. In this current biennium, the Management Labor Committee, I think, has felt that there was some pressure on the work comp fund. And that's been debated back and forth how much pressure is on the fund, but a lot of concern about whether or not the fund would require increase in terms of cents per day from both labor and management because of its current fiscal condition. And because of that, the Management Labor Committee recommended to the governor that the fund no longer provide these matching monies. And the fund was actually doing two things. It was matching these monies in VRD, and then it was also providing 75% rebate for a number of rehabilitation, nonprofit rehabilitation centers like St. Vincent's, Goodwill. There's over 70 of them. Both of those were recommended by Management Labor not to be funded out of the comp fund. The latter one, the premium rebate for 70 organizations, we've negotiated what is effectively a four-year glide path that will, over 4 years, the workers' comp fund will phase out its premium reimbursement to those 70 organizations, and in 4 years we will have to figure out what to do about that. So we developed a glide path for those institutions. But in this budget, in this issue, the Management Labor Committee didn't structure any kind of glide path. It just said we're not going to provide any more matching money for VRD. So that's that's the history up to date, and I don't know, Bill, did I leave anything out for you?
Madam Chair, Bill Brown, and this was made, Bill Brown, Deputy Administrator of Vocational Rehabilitation. In your budget synopsis on page 17, there's a budget note that describes the fact that they wanted the DCBS to take a look at this process, and there was a study, and that was the recommendation that came out of the study. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I think that's pretty well.
The only thing that I understood further than what was said was that it was my understanding there really weren't that many people who had actually been injured on the job who were taking advantage of these monies. Not very many people work at Goodwill or...
Madam Chair, that's the other program, and I didn't mean
to. And maybe
the two things that are coming out of the.
No, because that's what I was actually thinking of: MWAC making this recommendation and unfunding.
Right.
Those things. So it is two different.
And I supported that. I mean, I specified as recently as yesterday or the day before, I can't remember, in favor of that 4-year glide path, because I think MWAC was correct. We weren't serving injured workers completely in those three, I think. On this side, on this question, though, we kept real good records because we did not spend any workers' comp match money on anybody that wasn't a workers' comp plan. That was part of the agreement way back in 91, so that we could always go to the workers' comp program and document who got their match money.
Okay. Thank you. Does that explain it, Senator Lee?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if this money is used to help rehabilitation for the injured workers, it should keep coming. Besides, this is a 1-to-4 match, so we really lose a lot of money for this program. Is there any way you can go to the advisory task force and tell them this is a poor decision and reverse it?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, I've had a number of spirited discussions is probably the best way to describe it with the Management Labor Committee about how important this was and that we were serving injured workers. And they, you know, I respect their position. They feel strongly that they have to protect the fund. You know, they have a fiduciary responsibility to protect the fund, and their concern is that the fund is at a stage where they may have to raise rates to workers and employees and workers both. And for that reason, I think really for that reason alone, they have said we do not believe we should draw down any more money out of the workers' comp fund.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I make those remarks only to kind of set the stage for the budget discussion that we're about to have. And in that regard, I want to hand out the handouts that I have.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. What I propose doing this afternoon is to run through these recommendations and generate some discussion as we did on Monday with the Adult and Family Services Division. The first is a discussion or a discussion of the Governor's Department of Human Resource reshoot, which is, again, the repricing of the Governor's recommended budget for the Department of Human Resources for the 99-01 biennium. And within the Vocational Rehabilitation Division portion of the reshoot, there were four issues. And I'm recommending three of them be included in the legislatively adopted budget for the Department of Human Resources. The first is the Department of Human Resources prorate for other Y2K costs of about $14,104 of general fund. This was included in just about every division's section within the reshoot. This is not considerable a large amount of dollars, but it is a piece of the overall prorate that is VRD's share, and I recommend that we go ahead and include that in the budget. The second bullet point here is the continuation of a federal employment initiative grant approved at the November 1998 Emergency Board. This grant has already been kicked off, and Voc Rehab applied for this back in, I want to say, September or October, I believe, and was given the word that it had been awarded the grant. This $1.1 million of federal funds simply allows them to spend the federal grant money during the upcoming biennium. And I recommend that we include that in the budget here. The third bullet point with respect to the reshoot is a reduction in the Disability Determination Services mandated caseload. Originally, this had been put in the budget because there was the expectation that the Social Security Administration would undertake a redesign project all over the United States, and that redesign project of the process whereby somebody is determined eligible for SSI or SSDI, that has been scaled back by the Social Security Administration. This would reduce the $8.5 million of federal funds that were originally included in the governor's recommended budget to facilitate this redesign process. It's not going to take place, at least right now, in Oregon. It may take place in the future.
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, what do you redesign?
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, as I understand it, the process whereby somebody was going to be declared eligible or ineligible for Social Security disability income or supplemental security income, that process was going to be redesigned. And I'll give you an example. As I understand it, one of the new federal requirements in the redesign process would require that persons who applied were being considered ineligible would have the opportunity to meet face-to-face with the person, the eligibility determiner, the caseworker. And there were some other redesign components. But as I said, this has been postponed indefinitely, at least in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
The final bullet under the reshoot would have transferred $670,000 of general fund from the Senior and Disabled Services Division budget to be used as match for about $2.5 million of federal funds. This, again, is the Section 110 of the 1973 Rehabilitation Act funds as part of the DHR budget package for the Employment Initiative. Now, the Employment Initiative package is about $2.1 million of general fund, and it is currently in the Senior and Disabled Services Division budget. The intent here was to take $670,000 of that $2.1 million general fund and use it to match this $2.5 million of federal funds. Some of it, then, in turn, would be used to purchase services from the Senior and Disabled Services Division. I think that was about $1.3 or $1.4 million. Now, I'm not recommending this piece of a reshoot, and the reason is a simple one. That is that we have not yet determined whether or not we want to fund the Employment Initiative within the Senior and Disabled Services Division budget. And that budget, by the way, we're intending to do a work session on Monday. So if it was funded, I personally would not have any objection to taking a portion of that, like the $670,000, and transferring it. But until we know the outcome of that package, I would recommend not doing that.
So, is this $670,000 supposed to fill the whole of the $750,000 you're not getting from workers' comp.
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, yes, but obviously there's a difference between 750 and 670, and that difference has been accomplished in the governor's recommended budget. In other words, there was a hole of between $750,000 and $800,000 created by the MLAC recommendation. This would fill a good bit of it. However, general fund was put in the BRD budget to fill the rest of the hole. So this was what was needed to completely take all the federal $110 that were available to Oregon.
Madam Chair, so how much do we need to match the federal funds?
We need, Madam Chair, Senator Yee, Voc Rehab to match all the available federal funds would need the $670,000 in addition to what is already in the governor's recommended budget for the Vocational Rehabilitation Division.
So
as it stands, the printed governor's recommended budget does not contain enough other funds or general fund to capture all the available $110.
Oh.
And this transfer of the $670,000 would accomplish that.
Mm-hmm. But you're not recommending it until we finish SDSC's budget first.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, Senator Yee, that's correct.
Oh, so we're going to hold it until after.
We're actually going to act on this budget today. SDSC we're going to be doing Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would determine that we're going to do the employment initiative package, John, what I heard him say is he wouldn't be adverse to putting this back in and making this transfer. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, that's correct.
But we need to wait until we make the decision on the other piece.
You're not adverse to...
After we make the other decision.
Mm-hmm. To come back and do this.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So while I understood your question to be, are we going to hold it? And,
yes.
And maybe what I understood was hold this, just wait on this. And we aren't going to wait on the entire thing,
mm-hmm.
but we could always transfer it back in.
Okay.
The plan is to move on this today.
Mm-hmm.
And Madam Chair and members of the committee, that's true for, potentially true for a lot of adjustments.
Sure.
Remember that this bill, 5029, contains all the VHR budget.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are final adjustments to be made, that can be done. That's
yeah.
correct.
Mm-hmm. We're just trying to move through each division sort of systematically. So. Are there questions about this number one and the four bullets under it? Chris Andergrass.
John, if we in order to get the 110 match, does that have to be in Vocational Rehabilitation Division? In other words, if we decide to do some portion of the employment initiative that SDSC was doing it and it was aimed at employment, could they have the match? I mean, could we allocate the match to them and not have it be part of its budget or not?
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, let me attempt an answer.
Okay.
And then have...
I do understand
and
that
then have,
done for employment. I mean, I understand that.
Well,
the employment related.
That's correct. My understanding is that technically speaking, the Department of Human Resources is the recipient of the 110 funds.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking to Mr. Weeks and Bill Brown. If that's the case, I think the design here is to make sure that the Vocational Rehabilitation Division has all the money that it needs to purchase services from the Senior and Disabled Services Division.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not the transfer of funds from SDSC to the vocational rehabilitation is an absolute necessity, I'm not positive with that. But in any case, it has to be used for eligible purposes under Section 110 of the Federal Act. So
right.
Where it actually ends up Yeah.
Madam Chair, and Representative Ross, it is important that the match go to VRD. The VRD gets a match of 4-1 on the 110 monies, and SDSD gets a match of 1-1. And that's why we structured it this way, where VRD would provide the match to Voc Rehab, SDSD would provide the match to Voc Rehab, and then Voc Rehab would in turn purchase services for the employment initiative from Senior and Disabled Services, which is it's a good model anyway, because they're buying services with their 110 money and getting the maximum match. So we really need to steer whatever you're going to do in the match into VRD so we get the 4-1 match and not the 1-1 that's in the SDSD side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Madam Chair, I'll continue with the second point. This would reduce, there are four cuts that we are recommending. This would reduce general fund by a total of $160,136 and federal funds by $531,066 to achieve VRD's share of the Department of Human Resources 4% general fund cut. And I'll say at the outset, these are not cuts that I came up with, but when we asked the Department of Human Resources, the Department of Human Resources to come up with 4% cuts, these were the ones that they put forth as far as the Vocational Rehabilitation Division. The first of the four is replace general fund on two positions and backfill them with federal funds. We would cut services and supply expense for the balance of the cut. So this does not have a position effect or an FTE effect, but it would cut $29,384 of general fund, $21,943 of federal funds. The second proposed cut would delay hiring of an information systems specialist position. Again, this isn't cutting the position, but it is certainly delaying the hiring into that position. Cut services and supply expense for the position, as well as the services and supply expense for the auditor within the Vocational Rehabilitation Division. $29,384 general fund and $134,587 federal funds. The third cut, again, is a delay of a vacant position, in delay of hiring into a vacant position now, of a human services assistant. Cut, again, S&S expense for the position and cut all rehabilitation services capital outlay. $29,384 general fund reduction, $108,567 federal funds. And the final cut here is within the 4% is delay hiring of a vocational rehabilitation counselor position, cut services and supplies, and client services funds. Again, you'll recall at the outset that I described the rehabilitation services program as a number of counselors and branch offices who have money that they can spend on behalf of clients. This would not cut a position, but it would delay the hiring of a counselor position and cut the S&S and the client services funds associated with that position. So,
Madam Chair, how long do you delay hiring a counselor? I mean, I hate to see you delay hiring a counselor.
Yes. According to the detail that I have from the Department of Human Resources, both the fourth cut and the third cut would delay almost, it appears, by the whole biennium. It's about each 0.96 FTE. So, again, it wouldn't cut a position, but it would cut out a person in that vacant position for about the whole biennium. That's true for both the third cut and the fourth cut. The delay on the hiring of an information system specialist, again, is almost a full biennium, but it's about 0.84 FTE.
Madam Chair, I just wonder what's the wisdom of delaying hiring of a vocational rehab counselor. I mean, we can help them get back to employment. Is it a good cut to not help them?
I think, Senator, the wisdom is that we ask that 4% reductions be taken in administration, services and supplies, and capital outlay. And every agency was supposed to come to us with some idea of how they would do that.
Mm-hmm.
These are apparently vacant positions right now because they say delay hiring. And I guess I would ask the question how long these positions have been vacant. Are they recently vacant? Are they new positions? Or what is the situation?
Madam Chair, the positions, I can't tell you off the top of my head how long they've been vacant, but we don't leave positions vacant very long, particularly in the service delivery area because of the demands that we have for service. I could get the specific information for you if you need it.
I'm sure I can just add to that. One of them apparently was a retirement in February, so we know that one of them was fairly recent.
And one thing that I would point out to you, Madam Chair and members of the committee, is that there is, I believe, some special pay in that last budget cut. I'm presuming that that's the case, that it's not simply personal services, S&S, and capital outlay. But when we're talking about client services funds, those, are, again, are the funds that a counselor would use to purchase services on behalf
for
of
a client.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Madam Kennedy, I think we were asked to cut 4% from, what is it, services and supplies.
Personal services and capital outlay.
Capital outlay.
Right.
But this is program. This is delivery of program. And do you think we should cut into program and services?
I think that when there's a vacancy and the agency comes forward and says they can delay hiring somebody in a position offering that up as a possible reduction, mm-hmm. that we should look at that and determine.
Mm-hmm.
The service right now, I guess, isn't being provided because it is a vacant position.
Mm-hmm. Timing seems to
have it. One of them.
I don't know, and maybe somebody can tell us, of the $71,984,000 general fund in the delaying of the vocational rehabilitation counselor position, how much special pay is in that proposed cut? I don't know.
Madam Chair, we can get that for you.
Anyway, those are the four cuts that reduce general fund by
$160,136. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative
Strobeck. I'd just like to pick up on the direction that Senator Yee was going a little bit, maybe ask Mr. Brown, would the failure to replace this position, what impact would that have on your delivery of services, and if there are any alternatives to doing that step, because it does sound, in the way it's described here, that it is a direct impact on service delivery, and that is, again, not what we were looking for out of the 4% cut.
Madam Chair, Representative Strobeck, the by the delay of service to this on these two positions for a 23-month period of time, the probability would be, based upon our average number of clients served, that approximately 400 people would not be served over the course of the biennium. We do have attrition that occurs all the time in terms of when people resign, and there's oftentimes a little bit of time between when somebody leaves and when a position is filled, and that attrition, you know, can figure into part of that too, but the answer to your question, if we couldn't make other adjustments, would be about 400 less people served.
Madam Chair, if I can add to that and Representative Strobeck, in the business of Vote 3 half, you really, if you take SMS cuts, you're cutting services that are delivered to clients to get them to go to work, travel, equipment, relocation costs, all that kind of thing. So whether it's personnel or SMS, you're largely going to have some effect on program. And you know, we don't want to mislead you and say there's no program effect, because there is a division like this.
Because your mission is to provide person-to-person kind of service as well as this kind of assistance.
To reemploy people. Yeah.
One of the things that we, just following up on what Representative Strobeck was saying, the combination of eliminating the transfer from SDSC and in effect not hiring this rehabilitation counselor and the human services assistant would be that we would really eliminate almost $4 million from their program. And these are, in fact, people that have been providing direct service. And then the client services piece is adaptive equipment and communication aids and specialized wheelchairs, those things that do help people go to work. So this is really a big chunk out of services, and I think we kind of need to think through that.
$4 million?
Right. Where? Well, look at it.
$160,000.
No. I'm talking about the combination of numbers.
Well, this is an enhancer, so scratch that.
Well, wait a minute. It actually is an enhancement because the workers' comp money was taken away. This is money that was previously being spent. These were positions that were there.
However, this very money right here is coming from an enhancement somewhere else. So, Representative, you cannot say that if we act on this 4% reduction here that's been proposed, that somehow we are reducing by $4 million.
Oh, yes, we are not.
You're talking about the whole thing, mm-hmm. but I would resist the proposal that we're cutting this by $4 million by acting today on what we're acting on. Because it might be a hole, but it certainly wasn't created by us. MLAT came and said that, yes, we could fill it with this, but this, the way that it's being filled to be able to capture federal dollars is through an enhancement in another division.
May I ask that question? If we in fact did both of these things, it was my understanding that the first thing would eliminate either 9 positions or the equivalent services to clients. Am I wrong about that, or is that right?
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, you're correct.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to lump those together inappropriately, but this is, in fact, the cumulative effect of the NRAC, you know, decision, and then this was the plan to backfill to provide services to the very most disabled through this employment initiative, folks that have to go through. But at any rate, the effect, if we in fact go through with this, and do the whole thing, the effect on the division will be almost a $4 million loss, $3,800,000 loss. That will be the effect of the cumulative actions here, and I'm not meaning inappropriate to divide it, because you are right mm-hmm. about the fact that MLAC took the money away and then so it had to be moved from someplace. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, where did you get $3,800,000? I don't see it here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you look if you look at the first part up here, you have $670,000, and that would be used to produce a $2.5 million federal fund. And then you come down and you have $5 million under number two. You have $500,000. You add those together, that's $3 million. And then you're looking at the money from the department, which would be $830,000. That totals $303,830,000. That in effect, from the cumulative actions here, and this would be the equivalent of about 9 staff, and it would mean these very disabled people. Now, if on Monday we do the SDS thing and we restore this, that would in fact, and no matter where it's placed, because SDS, their plan was to target the very most disabled in their system. So that's a discussion for Monday. But if we did the whole thing, that would be the effect. Further questions?
Madam Chair, just two more points. One is related to the discussion we just had. I know that when Bill Brown and I talked about this recommendation or these recommendations, on the second page, when you look at the total agency budget, you go between the first shaded line, kind of about midway between the first shaded line and the current service level shaded line, and you'll see a program phase in, phase out. There's the effect, the $770,000 other fund reduction and the related federal funds, and then look to the right, you'll see the 9 positions that have been lost. What Mr. Brown told me was that, again, if we did not fund the employment initiative, that it would be his preference that we cut client service dollars rather than staff. So that's just a point. We don't need to act on that today, but it's something to keep in mind. Does that make sense to the committee?
How would you cut? You cut a personnel. If you cut client service dollars and then you send it to people, how would you, you know, that doesn't seem to quite match up.
Right. Let me respond to that, Representative Loken. Again, remember that each vocational rehabilitation division counselor has kind of a count of money that they are able to use for clients. And what Mr. Brown had suggested would have been to say, let's reduce the accounts of money that the counselors have to work with by whatever amount needs to be to restore the counselor positions, because it's his position, it's his belief, I'm not speaking for him, trying not to.
We'll let him verify it.
But that we can get more bang for our buck with counselors than we can necessarily for the dollars that those counselors spend.
Because they might be able to, well, you go ahead.
Madam Chair, Representative Wolken, if we don't have people, our delivery system is one in which counseling staff and support staff deliver services to people. If we don't have the counseling staff, the services can't get delivered. If we have the counseling staff, but maybe less money, and I'm not suggesting one way or the other, but if we have the counseling staff, they have a lot of knowledge and background where they can leverage resources from other people. They know employment markets. We work very closely with other divisions and so on. So we've got people that can continue to carry the caseloads and try to make things happen for people with disabilities, but with less money. Without the people, that's hard to do.
Okay. Can you give me an example of services then? Services that have to be cut. If you're cutting dollars for that, you're saying you can leverage it. But
Where? Give us an idea of what kinds of things the money is spent on these counselor accounts. The accounts for each client are spent to, because I think I understand what you're saying, but it might be more clearly explained about how you spend.
Madam Chair, Representative Loken, we have approximately, as the budget stands today, approximately $100,000 per counselor per year to work with roughly 175, maybe 200 persons with disabilities.
Okay.
We, in order to, to make eligibility decisions on people, we may have to purchase evaluations for people, as an example. The primary service the Vocational Rehabilitation Division provides, if you have to pick one, is vocational counseling and guidance, the skills that are inherent in the counseling staff themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We purchase, for some people, we purchase prosthetic appliances, as an example. For other people, we may get them into some kind of an educational setting and maybe pay tuition. We may purchase, if people have some trouble with transportation, we may help them with transportation. We may purchase things like on-the-job training. If we can get our foot in the door with an employer and tell an employer, we will pay you to train this individual, and if this individual works out, then you keep him. We try to do those kinds of things. So anything within reason that relates from a person's needs relative to an employment goal, mm-hmm. we maneuver and can purchase services for.
Mm-hmm. Just to go a little bit further, Mr. Brown, is there anything a little bit more elective that is definitely related and would help a client, but maybe isn't quite, that you might be able to find or leverage other ways of helping? I don't know of any. I mean, I'm not thinking specifically of anything, but prior in some of the other testimonies, it seemed to me that there were some helps that you could purchase that were not as necessary as, like, maybe education would be or, job training, but maybe some other things. Even transportation, but of course somebody has to have transportation to get to.
Madam Chair, as an example, some of the people we serve have issues of where they can live. They have issues of subsistence maintenance. And we may, as an example, we may get in our work with the Employment Service or with AFS some temporary maintenance for an individual while they're learning something in school that we wouldn't pay for, but we would leverage someone else to pay for. And that's the kind of thing that I'm kind of relating to as it relates to if we have an opportunity to keep physicians, we can maneuver around and we can try to make things happen for people that doesn't come out of our budget. It's another way to look at that is we look for similar benefits. We do this all the time. Mm-hmm. We don't want our dollar to be first dollar. We want somebody else's dollar to be first dollar. This would mean we'd have to look even harder and longer for that sort of thing.
If you have the experience, counselors, they can. Mm-hmm. They've done it before. Mm-hmm. Maybe could do it.
So. Yes, I was thinking. I may follow up a little bit. Well, if you have more people, but if you haven't got the tools to work with, still, is more people going to help?
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like
to me that the real tools are the counselors.
Yeah. So they can make things happen if there's people. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my final recommendation is to acknowledge the lower Attorney General hourly rate. This is a reduction of $226,000 of general fund, $836 of federal fund.
Okay.
$226.
Sorry. Yes, it is.
We used to talk in millions.
$836 of federal funds. Thank you.
Are there questions of staff or Mr. Brown?
Let me ask.
Okay, Representative Brown.
Okay. As we move along on this, your budget is fluid. The Department of Human Resources budget is so big. What I was struggling for is if there are savings, general fund dollar savings in some other section of the department, what would we need to do with this budget to provide the flexibility to go back and get and pick up this unused match later? And just assuming for a moment that we don't do the employment initiative. I mean, just if that happened and if we didn't transfer and we lacked the several hundred thousand dollars, what would have to be the budget mechanism to provide the space for you to be able to pick up that match later if
Madam Chair and Representative Ross, my response to that would be through a DHR rebalance.
Okay.
And that assumes that there are general fund savings in other divisions and that this is the highest priority for those savings.
Madam Chair, the director has, and Representative Ross, the director has authority to transfer money among divisions and everything, and that's generally the advice comes to the legislature in the form of a rebalance plan and stuff, but there's authority to do that. You don't have to give any additional statutory authority, and obviously we'd like not to think about that until we have a complete discussion of the employment initiative and stuff, which we'd like to
that's my concern is that we heard a lot of very compelling evidence about people who were taking good advantage of the services, people who through personal courage and determination, plus your services, were able to become employed, and some extremely disabled people who were, because of their grit and will and intelligence, were successful employees. And the other administrative cuts we've taken, you know, have been that. They have been administrative cuts, they've been savings, they've been, you know, some kind of efficiency. This is the first cut that I've experienced, been acquainted with, that really, and the chair is right, it's because of the cut in the worker comp, this is an enhancement in terms of general fund dollars. I understand that, but at the same time, I am concerned about not spending, you know, $3.5 million on a kind of service that clearly was helping people directly. So it's a concern, and I would hope we leave the door open to think a little bit more about this, even if we do go ahead and approve this budget today, that we would continue to think about this a little bit.
It's my concern too, Representative. Gotta say, and I've said it before, all of the choices that we have to make are really, they are tough choices. And no, actually, I was a little assuaged. I know that the $750,000 hold is one thing, but the delaying hiring, I was a little assuaged by the fact that it was delaying hiring. That means that they're not full now, and maybe I shouldn't have felt better, but somehow it made me feel a little more comfortable, although I'm uncomfortable with it all. But we're in the job of making tough decisions. I have said it before, the Vocational Rehabilitation Division has done a good job, and I would hope that if the Employment Initiative, after you've made your and we choose not to do it or to do it or whatever, if this hole is not filled, I would hope that when it comes time for rebalance, we could at least fill it with something sometime down the road, simply not only because of what this division does, but because of the 110 matching funds that are such a irate advance.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bryant.
As we progress too, and look at the other budget, I won't forget what the matching rate is too. And so as we make these other considerations in other divisions, even though some of those have matches, these are some of the better matching rates. The only one I've seen that's better is the military, which is for every dollar you get about 9 back.
Right.
Folks about might change that, but I won't forget. So
this is a hole that I hope to raise and take a look at as we work through these other difficult issues.
Senator Shields?
I guess my biggest concern is we've gotten a lot of money already through various rebounds, and I'm wondering, you know, how long we'll be able to continue that wonderful trend, and will it be there if we need it, you know, to do it with.
Okay. If there are no other questions, I'd
Madam Chair,
Senator Yu.
Can we not accept the recommendation on the last one?
You could make that motion.
So that means we will not save $71,984 general fund.
That's what, if you made that motion and it passed, that's what it would probably mean.
I mean, we can leave the transfer of $670,000 general fund as a question mark. I mean, you come back if there's money. But this one can not...
Like I say, I would entertain a motion. We could see if that motion passed. If you wanted to make one.
Yes. I move that we not
have delay.
The delay of hiring.
I know.
Because it affects 400 people who might be able to get...
I would say, Senator, we do need every cent, every dollar that's in this particular budget, as it is.
Yes, but you say I should make a motion, and I'm explaining my motion.
Okay.
That it will affect 400 jobs in the biennium.
It might.
Mm-hmm, it might.
It might do that. So are you making a motion,
yes,
Senator Yee?
I move that we not accept the last recommendation.
Okay. Senator Yee has moved that as part of a fiscal, legislative fiscal office recommendation that we not accept the delaying of hiring the vocational rehabilitation counselor position and cut five in client service funds. And I would say as the chair that I really, as I told Senator Yee, this is a tough decision. I would prefer to have everything in every human resource budget practically that comes before me, although that may not be true. I'm going to get some other places. And you'll know about that then, too. But in this case, I don't like doing this either. But so, a good discussion.
For clarification, this one is, I think, the senator was saying is the only time we're going to get to discuss this one. But the 670 above, that's something we return to on Monday. Is that right? Confused here.
You were not here earlier when we discussed it. So, John, do you want to...
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Shields, the 670 is, again, part of the SDSC Employment Initiative, and we're going to be dealing with that package and the rest of SDSC's budget on Monday. If it were the decision of the committee to accept that package as part of SDSC's budget, I would say that it is prudent to take the 670 from that package and transfer it to those rehab to get the full match.
So my point is that the relevance of her motion is that this is our last opportunity to discuss this one, where it's not our last opportunity to discuss 670.
Right, and actually, even after Monday, we just had a discussion about rebalancing it some other time as well. And that was, you know, that's something that seems to be of interest to a lot of our motion. Representative Ross.
I need clarity on your motion, Senator Yee. Are you just saying that we take the funds for the position, the $71,000, that's all?
Well, the whole item here is to leave the $71,984 general fund for the counselor's position and leave the $265,000 federal funds to go with it. So the whole package, I recommend we not accept reduction.
Okay. Further discussion?
I'm going to clarify this for sure. We're just talking about this fourth bullet point for all?
No.
Okay.
We're talking about the fourth bullet point.
All right.
The chair will repeat
I got it. We need every single dollar that we have taken in this budget. You want to call the roll? Sure.
Senator D?
Aye.
Senator Bryant?
No.
Senator Fisher?
No.
Senator Steele?
Let me think about it a minute. No.
Representative Ross?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Senator
Brogan? No. Senator Fisher? No. So, Senator Bryant, do you want to move recommendation to the officer?
Yes, I'll move that we adopt the recommendation of LFO as outlined.
Senator Bryant has moved that we accept LFO's recommendation. As John has gone through all of the figures that we've just gone through. Is there a discussion?
Okay. Basically, a question that this all the department is really part of one budget. Is that right? And one bill.
Madam Chair, Representative Ross.
CHR.
That's correct. It's House Bill 5029.
Okay. You know, I respect the fact that the work that the staff have done and the work that the chairman's doing, and I understand the need to maintain discipline in taking cuts as they come. I would hope that by the time we got to the end that we would be looking back at this match and the possibility. And if we find any other waste, fraud, and abuse in the Department of Human Resources, I will move that money right back to the...
You really want that? I'm sure we won't find any. Are we hearing?
Yes. If we find waste, fraud, and abuse, or frivolous spending in any form, then I would hope we would remember this as a spot that is worthy of our investment. And with that understanding, I'll be voting to support the motion.
Okay, and I would ask staff to make note of that, of what this subcommittee has said, and I hear pretty clearly what...
Madam Chair, I will do that.
Any further discussion? If not, are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, the Vocational Rehabilitation Division has passed. Thank you very much. And we will adjourn for today. And I think, what day is it today?
Thursday.
Thursday today? My gosh, we don't have a committee. Monday, 1 o'clock.